Jim Dahlke, the Director of Communications at Tech Nexus Venture Collaborative. We'll get to the markets in a little bit here, but let's start with you today, Jim, and talk to me about robots delivering food in Chicago.
That's right, John. Yes, your next food delivery could be headed your way via robot. That's because DoorDash, the country's largest food delivery platform, is rolling out robot deliveries in Chicago and Los Angeles, thanks to its tech partner, Coco Robotics. This is according to the Crane Chicago. Coco partners directly with Roblox and actually docks its vehicles right at their businesses. And so when DoorDash receives an order, a robot could be headed your way instead of a human delivery driver. Kind of a couple interesting details in this. One, you don't really get the choice to choose between a robot and a human. You just order your food, and it's possible the robot shows up, or it's possible the human shows up. The deliveries within a certain distance from a restaurant are automatically assigned by the robot courier. So certainly interesting here, and interesting that Chicago, really one of the beginning markets here for this specific partnership between DoorDash and Coco. It's something we're seeing really across the country, and you know, Los Angeles is a city that's gotten more of this than Chicago. So this is kind of the very beginning of this here, at least in Chicago on a bigger scale. But very curious to kind of see how this works out and what the consumer reaction is to getting a robot delivery compared to a human delivery.
Do you know what that robot looks like? Is it a cart on wheels and the thing shows up at your door? It's not a walking robot, is it?
No, it's not the humanoid robots that you're seeing, that have become, very popular in warehouses. You know, Elon Musk is behind the company that's making these humanoid robotics. No, this is basically a cooler on wheels, effectively. This is, a rectangular square box with wheels and a lid that opens and closes.
Did you see the video of that robot running the half marathon over the weekend?
I did. Its time wasn't very good, but I guess it's just the fact that he finished, right?
I wasn't sure if that was real. I mean, that was kind of creepy, though. So a humanoid robot, that was real, ran a 13-mile race?
That's right, yeah. I believe it was a half marathon, and even kind of proving out the ability of a robot to kind of have the endurance. So it wasn't to the point where it was beating its human counterparts, but it was finishing the race, which is certainly interesting to see. These robots, supposedly, there's certainly warehouse implications here, right? A lot of them are working, at factories like BMW, for example, around the assembly lines. But the ones like the company that Elon Musk is behind that has these humanoid robots as well, their plan is to be doing kind of everyday household chores, like folding your laundry, for example. So, it's going to be, I think, many, many years before we see this widespread adoption of humanoid-type robots in your house, but companies are working on them. There's a lot of money behind them, and at least so far, there's a little bit of interest from a consumer standpoint.
It was like 2 hours and 15 or 2 hours and 30 minutes, right, which is a world-class marathon time. Plenty of humans can run a marathon, a half marathon, in the time the robot did. But by the way, plenty of Americans can't, too. So it might not have been a good time, but it was 13 miles, and dang if the thing didn't do it. That was weird. Chicago-based Trala. Talk to me about this company. What's the news here?
Yeah, Trala is an app for learning the violin. Launched several years ago. Venture-backed, raised about $8 million in a Series A funding round just a couple years ago. And they have been acquired. So they've been acquired by the company that owns Skoove, which is a popular piano-playing app. So kind of making sense now that Skoove brings Trala into its family of apps to learn different musical instruments. Trala, really interesting app. It's kind of using AI, it gives you feedback in real time. So it can, basically hear your pitch and rhythm and give you feedback directly. It also works with, some of the famous trained violinists to provide feedback in classes as well. Trala says it's worked with over 800,000 violinists over the globe. Over the last several years as it's continued to grow its app. So a nice little acquisition here for a Chicago-based startup, Trala.
11 Tribes, who are they?
Yeah, this is a new venture. This is a venture fund in Chicago. Just raised a new a fund round for investing in more Chicago startups and other companies around the area. This is a company that just closed its $46 million second fund, considerably up from its first fund, which raised just $11 million in 2021. So more capital here to invest in Chicago startups. And one thing that I find really interesting about 11 tribes is they provide part of the cash that they give founders is earmarked specifically for mental health. So think therapy, career coaching, life coaching. You know, they say 2% of the money that they invest in their founding teams is really earmarked for mental health. And I really think that's a fascinating approach. So, you know, not just capital, using capital to grow your team or increase your marketing. It's really kind of envisioned to holistically help a business. And that's everything from a career coach to mental health and mental health and therapy.
So if I understand correctly, I'm the venture capitalist. I'm going to give money to your business to help it grow. I'll have some stake in it. Hooray for me. But I'm going to insist that you use as much as 2% of it for the mental health of the people that work there. Is that the setup?
Yeah, and really around my founders. So about an average check size is about $250,000 for 11 tribes. So you think about $5,000 the founders can use to invest in their own mental well-being. So, you know, we're seeing, you know, in the startup world, all kinds of different mental health issues, even from, you know, founder, co-founder conflict and just the overall stresses of, you know, building a startup and raising venture capital and growing a team. And what 11 Tribes is saying is like, hey, we want to spend some of this capital on your mental health. And I think it's an approach we're going to see quite a bit more of across the venture landscape.
Kind of makes sense. If I'm going to give you $250,000, I want to make sure you're well enough to manage the money and be successful. It's hedging your bet a little bit, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, and look, you know, that money can go to career coaching as well, right? So it's like, you know, if you want to get, you know, learn some more skills and kind of connect, you know, with other seasoned leaders who can help you with your own career development and career coaching, that could be used for that as well. So, yeah, to me, it's money well spent.
Jim Dahlke is the Director of Communications at TechNexus Venture Collaborative. Thanks a lot today, Jim. Brad LaHoy joins us now, the General Manager of the Lincolnshire Marriott Resort. Brad, you're on WGN Radio. How are you today?
Very well, John, yourself?
I may have mispronounced your last name. How do I say that, Brad?
It's LaJoy.
LaJoy, just like it looks. I had to pretend it was a foreign language, and I speak a foreign language. Pardon me. So the Lincolnshire Marriott Resort has a bit of an anniversary coming up. What's going on here?
Yeah, we turned 50 this year, so we're very excited. We've been a great jewel of the resort in Lake County for 50 years now, so we're going to do some great things with our restaurants, our shows at the theater, and just have a great experience for our guests.
Talk to me a little bit about that. Start with the Three Embers restaurant.
Sure. Three Embers is our high-scale steakhouse in the resort. We're going to pair up some of our menus with the shows throughout the year. So right now we're doing Titanic for our theater show. So we have the White Star Grill. So we take some menu items from the actual Titanic, not, you know, kind of spin on it, and just have some fun guests. We have a great pre-fee menu for $49 a person. They have a three-course meal. They sit down and sit in an atmosphere that we kind of decorate like the Titanic from props we've had from different shows.
So do people then go to dinner before the show or after the show?
They can do it either. We can go before or after. We have definitely reservations before. The show is about 2.5 hours, so you can come before or after, whatever works best for their schedule.
And not to be confused with Titanic, this is Titanic. Tell me just what you know about that show then.
It's not like the movie. A lot of people think it's like the movie. It's more spin of just the actual story of the guests on the Titanic throughout the course of the, you know, the events of the unfortunate events of the Titanic.
Right. Yeah. What else is going on at the resort?
We have all kinds of stuff going on. We have pretty soon we'll be opening up our outdoor pool for outdoor activities. We have some pianos on the patio. We're very excited. Our golf course just opened up, Cranes Landing, so we're ready to go for our golf season. We just enjoy having people here. We have great amenities. We have 390 guest rooms for our guests, great meeting space. They come out and see a show, have dinner, and play golf, and just a nice experience away from the house.
Yeah, really, you don't have to travel far. You could just go to your place, and you could eat, you could see a show, you could golf.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of other things, like do families sometimes just go to the Marriott for a weekend?
Absolutely. They could bring their family. The outdoor pool is great for the outdoor. When the weather gets nice, we have bike paths. We have places to walk. We have a great park area they can hang out in. So it's very family friendly.
Talk just briefly about the golf course, Cranes Landing. What's that all about?
It's a Ralph Fazio design course, PGA course, 18 holes. Very user friendly. It's on 175 acres out there. So the great atmosphere, great play, and just a fun little atmosphere to take the family or anyone to come on a weekend, play 9 holes or 18 holes, whatever you want to do.
And there's the Des Plaines River Trail that connects with the Marriott, too, right?
Yes, they can take the bike paths up there. It actually goes 37 miles out of Wisconsin, so it's a great path to walk, bike, or just, you know, take some time to get in nature.
So I know that a lot of business people, large events take place there. But if a family or an individual just wanted to get away but not go far, how do they do that? Do they just go online? Are there any specials coming up?
Yeah, you can definitely go to Marriott.com and make reservations. Like you said, we are more of a corporate, you know, Monday through Friday atmosphere too, but the weekends, definitely. We are family friendly.
Lincolnshire Marriott Resort's got a 50-year anniversary, so I guess it's not just one day or weekend of events. Is this going to stretch out for the season?
Stretch out for the season, yes. And we're doing it for every theater show, like we're doing the White Star Grill for Titanic right now. But come the summer, we're going to have a nice 80s show called Always Something There, then Catch Me If You Can, and followed up with Million Dollar Quartet. So we're going to do the same thing, a pop-up restaurant theme for those shows as well in the restaurants.
A Million Dollar Quartet's great. What a fun show that is.
Yeah, it's going to be the Christmas one, so it's going to be very exciting. We did that a couple years ago, just the regular Million Dollar Quartet, so we're very excited to bring in the Christmas episode one.
Yeah, it's like, why make it hard? Just do that. And then the show before that you said was Catch Me If You Can?
Catch Me If You Can, yes.
I know the movie. I didn't know there was a Broadway production or an off-Broadway production in this case, huh?
Yes, well, actually, just like you, I know the movie, so I'm looking forward to seeing that one as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the food would be. Airplane food? I'm not exactly sure what the theme
We haven't got that far yet, but we have a great F&B team, so I'm very confident we're going to have a great menu put together for that.
Brad LaJoy is the general manager of the Lincolnshire Marriott Resort, Marriott.com. You can call there or text there or go online there and set up a date. Brad, thanks for visiting with us today.
No, thank you, John. I appreciate the time.
Here's Tom Fortino, the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group. He hosts our The Alpha Wealth Hour. You hear Tom Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on WGN Radio. It's a good way to maybe start your Sunday with some solid financial news and advice. AlphaWealthGroup.com is his website. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you here, although it's we didn't time it this way, but the markets are off again today.
Mm-hmm.
The dollar is, too. There's kind of an interesting confluence of the metrics of the economy happening right now. What's going on, Tom? What, in general, are you looking at and thinking?
Well, I mean, not a lot of good things when you look just at the market. I mean, sometimes we want to separate the economy from the market, but there's not a lot of good news when we look at the market. You mentioned the dollar. Yeah, the dollar's down. Relative to, you know, a number of currencies throughout the world. I don't think, all that cataclysmic or a big issue right now as far as, again, the dollar's value. But the market itself is reacting today, and it's been, you know, as we've seen throughout, I guess, since February, it's in a downtrend. And so this is just tough. I know I can appreciate it's very tough for a lot of people that are long-term investors to be holding in this type of market, but we deal with this from year to year, you know, when it happens.
And it seems like what continues to make things worse is the disagreement the president has with the policy of the Fed. Donald Trump wants them to lower rates, and he's mm-hmm. not giving up on that, is he?
Well, apparently not, based on the rhetoric that came out today. You know, there's opinions, and as it relates to the Fed and what they're doing. I mean, we're seeing the 10-year Treasury again. That's kind of what's a little troublesome in this market. If you're not, I guess, other than gold and some other things, you know, you're in a tough spot, because the 10-year Treasury still hasn't cooperated completely. I think it's at 4.3. right now. So, you know, we talk about safe havens or putting money. We say, okay, well, we can own the bonds, at least the bond part of our portfolio, right? Okay, I've got that chunk. It's in bonds. Now, relatively speaking, it may be flat or down 1% or so, but the bond market, as we know, there's that inverse relationship. As the rates are going up, which they have been slightly, it's gone back and forth. We're just not seeing that flight to safety in the bonds reacting like we would expect. I mean, the 10-year's up at today, you know, the market that's down, that's they're not supposed to be correlated like that.
So what does that mean when they are?
Well, we don't know, I guess, is the real answer, if we're being honest. There's differences of opinions. But I guess if you're taking a look at the bonds, you know, the point is to have more of maybe the shorter term duration bonds, because they don't have as much of an impact. And so that when you start to see, again, the bonds reacting like this, there's some concerns. Again, there's been thoughts floated out there that is there concern that you know, the U.S. government's not going to be paying debt. I think that's somewhat right. Absurd, but concerns about budget deficits and things that are happening. So that's maybe what we're seeing. And then, these other countries, it always comes back to supply and demand, whether it's the bond market or the stock market, and who's buying up the bonds right now. And so is there this hesitancy for these other countries to buy bonds as well?
Well, yeah. Well, if there's less interest in buying the bonds, then what happens, Tom?
Well, I mean, we're seeing some of that happening now,
yeah,
where you see interest rates go up. And again, hasn't been that dramatic. I don't want to, come out and say this is just really something cataclysmic happening.
No, but we see a trend. And if there are fewer buyers, then the bond has to go up in order to attract more people. We're going to have to pay
exactly
more on that debt.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the value of the bond and so that's why some of this push to say, if the Fed came out, for example, a lot of these things, and we've talked about this in the past before, John, just when we talk about consumer confidence, or we talk about some actions and we talk about some certainty. So if the Fed came out and said, look, we're going to make some moves here, is it going to have that big of an impact? Just just to the extent that they're making the move, you would probably see a positive reaction to that in this economy. So those are things that, we'd like to see. I think some would like to see. Again, there's opinions on both sides. Certainly in later this year, the next Fed meeting, they're probably going to bring rates down a little bit. But that's just a good sign for the market. It's proactive.
Proactive. That's not acquiescing. That's not caving into Trump's demands.
Well, technically, I know this is, probably not. It's supposed to be the Fed is supposed to be non-political or apolital. The idea is we're not caving in. The response should be from Jerome Powell. If he does something, it should be, I don't care what the president is saying. I don't care what others are saying. I'm doing this because of the data and because of the mandate of the Fed.
Right. So Jerome Powell then has to sort of be ready to weather the criticism of him if it appears, what a coincidence. Now he's doing it and Trump's asked for it all along, when in fact it's just what a prudent Fed chair needs to do. It would be a shame, an ironic shame, wouldn't it be, if he said, well, now I am going to play politics. I'm not going to appear to play politics. That would be the worst-case scenario. But does it appear as though you've got these – the president could ease his tariff demands, and that would solve the problem, or the Fed could lower interest rates, and that might postpone the problem or solve the problem. But neither seems to be willing to do either of those things. Is that right, Tom?
Well, yes. There's a confluence of things happening. I mean, you've got all these – and it comes back to that term we've used so many times when you hear it in the market – the uncertainty. And so, the tariffs, as Powell came out last week and made the announcement, he felt the tariffs were going to be inflationary potentially. So he's almost inferring that, look, my hands are tied. I can't reduce rates. Again, there's give and take on both sides, but that's where what his position is. And if you say, well, that's totally objective, he's doing it because this is what he believes and the Fed governors believe it. Okay. Now, again, the argument could be that, on the other side is, look, the tariffs are not going to be that inflationary. We just need to get some certainty here. We need some things to get resolved. And that's really what needs to have happen. It's just there's not much you can do in these types of markets right now with this craziness that's going back and forth.
Dow's off 1,200 points right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is another buying opportunity. If you like the Dow at 39,000, you're going to love it at 37.9.
Well, for those that are bold, I would say yes, it is a buying opportunity. You look at the things, again, we talk about these, but this is more, we talk about the Mag 7, whether it's NVIDIA, Microsoft, Amazon, you can go down the line, they're 30% off their 12-month highs. They're 30% off. Now, again, if you think this is a buying opportunity, yes, it is. Could they go down a little more? Absolutely. But if you're saying these are things I want to hold, then yes, it is a buying opportunity. And again, if you feel you've got the constitution for it, this is a time to do it, I think. Yes.
Well, it seemed to me almost impossible for the markets to not recover a lot of what they've lost if the administration just softens its position. It's not like NVIDIA doesn't make chips anymore or General Motors doesn't make cars anymore.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely. And again, it's tough. I get it. It's really hard. Emotions. You're seeing like a day like today, but let's not forget, was it 2 weeks ago or whatever, when the market rallied 9 to 11%, depending on the index, in one day. And that's the problem that's somewhat problematic in this market. If I'm the average investor, look, let's separate traders from investors. Because, you know, we hear all too often on this, we see a person saying, go to short-term treasuries, go to gold, go to this. Okay, that's great. Now what do I do next? So you have to be very, again, for the average investor, you have to be very careful. Can you make subtle moves? Yes, but when you're making big moves, or you get out of the market, and then the next day it rallies 8%, man, that can just be really destructive to your portfolio. So this is why it's so critical to have something you can stick with and confident and not have the emotional decisions. I know this is not easy. This is not an easy discussion, but it's important that we understand these things because, again, when we make emotional decisions, we've had this conversation, it can really be detrimental to your portfolio.
Yeah. Well, you've said that even when times were flush. So just one more question for you, Tom Fortino. From the Alpha Wealth Group, you hear him Sunday mornings at 7 on WGN. I'll ask you to answer it after a quick break here. We're going to check some other business news. But you're 65 years old. Some of our listeners are younger. Plenty of them are older than that. But a 65-year-old who is retiring, has retired, is going to retire soon. Give me just some landmarks for them. What advice do you have for them, Tom? And Tom Fortino is, too, the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group. I'm 65 years old, say, and I have or will retire soon. What are you hearing from your clients or telling them about that, Tom?
Well, it's, you know, really it comes down to looking at the big picture. I would say a couple things. Certainly, it's daunting because we have less runway to recover. But as you're approaching retirement or near retirement, it's really important that you take a step back and evaluate things. Again, this is tough. I don't want to be insensitive about what's going on in this market. But we really need to take a look at what we have. It goes beyond just the investments, which I know we've been talking about that primarily today. But, you know, there's a discovery we have to look at because we may be in a better position than we think. I use Social Security as an example. Now, most of us, you know, a lot of people, you could take it at 62. You may take it at 65. You can wait till 70. But understand this piece of your planning because, you know, that could be $1 million over your lifetime or more. Understanding what the income is going to be coming in separate from the investments. Understand, you know, where you stand. If you're married, what is your spouse going to get? That may cover half of your income needs separate from the investments. And so, you know, absolutely know what you own and look at your portfolios. You know, year over year, the market's pretty much flat. Again, not trying to diminish what's going on here. We're down about 10, 11% year to date. And so there's still opportunity here to reevaluate our plan and start to put these pieces in place. You know, and that's why this is so critical to start to take a look at it. What do I actually need in retirement? A lot of people, you know, I've told people before this, Employee Benefit Research Institute has said half of the people going into retirement simply guess at what they need. And so uncertainty, whether it's in the markets, uncertainty in our retirement plan, that's just not a good place to be. So we want to start to put these pieces together to create a plan. And this is all part of it.
Tom will talk more about this Sunday morning at 7 on the Alpha Wealth Hour. You can find his stuff. You can find Tom at alphawealthgroup.com. Okay, Tom, thanks for your help today.
Great. Good talking to you, John.
As always, you bet. You too. It's 12:55. Terry Savage, the Money Lady, joins us on Wednesdays. She will in a couple days. Terry, what's your thought about what's happening today?
You give me 2 minutes, so stick with me. Listen to the market. Forget what anybody says. The market is where money puts its mouth. The Dow is down 1,230 points right now. It is down almost 17% from its highs. The interest rates have inched back up. The 10-year bond is at almost 4.4%. So we are back up with mortgage rates at 7%. That was up from 3.5% a little bit ago. Gold is now up $104 an ounce to an all-time high,
yeah.
3432.
Wow.
And the U.S. dollar index against other currencies is down from a high of 110 in November to 98.5 now, down 10%. We have told the world that we want to get along. We're going to get along without them, that we really don't care. And the rest of the world is telling us, okay, I think they're getting together and saying, we will figure out something other than the U.S. dollar as a safe haven, than the United States as a safe place to invest. And it has all kinds of ramifications. But for you, I remember sitting here 2-3 weeks ago saying, the Dow is only down 5%. It's now down 17%. Now, one quick thing. I keep this little scotch tape to my wall. It's called Bear Markets I Lived Through. 1973, down 48%, took 6 years to break even. 2000, down 49%, took 5 years to break even. 2007, down 56%, took 4 years to break even. So instead of sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, look at your time horizon, look at your investments, and make a decision about how much chicken money you need, something we've been talking about here for a long time. That's a savage truth.
Join us again on Wednesday. Thank you, Terry.
For the whole hour. Thanks for having me on today, John.